Jamaica was also at the foundation of what we call hip-hop today, because Kool Herc, Afrika Bambaataa, and Grandmaster Flash are seen as the triumvirate of people who have shaped hip-hop, especially DJing and elongating the beats when they didn't have samplers, which meant people were dancing the break. The boys were dancing the break. They were called the Break Boys, which became breaking. So you have a Jamaican,
right?
And now sound systems were popular in Jamaica from way back in the 30s and 40s. He essentially brought that street sound system to America. So Jamaicans are very much at the core of it. And Grandmaster Flash is a Barbadian who was born in Jamaica, in Barbados in 62. And he's, you know, revered as scratch techniques and that kind of thing, and facilitating the rappers, etc. So we in the Caribbean are
one of the pioneers.
Yeah, we are more linked to hip hop than people who don't know appreciate. But that tale of the
Busta Rhymes said it. Yeah, too. Busta Rhymes said that. Yeah.
That tale of the street to make sure the people that these artists want to hear their song, whether it be a person that they got talk for, is deliberately slower so they can say exactly what they want to say and say it at a tempo and speed that you cannot mistake what they are saying. Right? And they've got 10 or more 15 songs just waiting. And if the target, well, whoever the target is, responds, then that's another 10 and 15 songs coming down from them and the people that roll with them, as they say. Right? So it's gone from being a music that you enjoy on a van to actually providing a soundscape to consider certain things. Now, there's a lot of, as we say, conscious stuff out there on the same beats, especially from a certain type of artist and a number of artists that you can point to. But with what we're hearing that is popular at certain locations, it's rough, it's brutal, and I there's no pun intended there. It's brutal, and I remember a few years ago there was a war on YouTube, an artistic war on YouTube, and the lyrics there, they were exceptionally raw. Got to the point that people thought there was actually something personal between some of the people who were releasing this music. And I think, based upon what I heard, there must have been any type of feelings, because nobody wanted to show themselves to be peaceful. Nobody wanted to show themselves to be more reasonable, to say, you know what? That's a bit too far. That's a bit too far. I think it got to the point where if I was a member of the law enforcement agencies, I would be watching some of these videos and songs the same way, apparently, a video a few weeks ago caught the attention of the agencies here after it was streamed all on social media. So I think the kids today have, their van days are decidedly different. And you got ZRs. We didn't have ZRs then, Gibbsy. We had ZMs that made the transition, made that bridge between minibuses and ZRs. Because when you ask someone about a ZM taxi, they had to be taking them in the late 80s, early 90s, because they were there before ZRs. They were there in the days that your van could be any color, or you could paint whatever you wanted on your van.
Yeah, I had a. Yeah, I briefly remember the pretty color vans when I was a small child.
Yeah, it had to be like, 4 or 5. I remember them.
Yeah.
So it's different.
Yeah, but the cut is different. But here to see, Gibbsy and Ronnie. I remember speaking to a youngster and extremely talented, but a lot of lyrics know the cruel and violent, and he just saying, well, this is what real, this is what he know, this is what he live, this is what he see. So he like music, so he wants, so I tell you, well, so then I tell you about reading and stuff, and they tell me, yeah, he's reading, explaining me different things he's read, and he's a very smart fella, but he's saying, but if he sing about them things that he read, which ain't real to he, people ain't gonna know what going on around he. So he's seeing himself as somebody that being brutally honest and telling the public exactly what happened in their communities. And it's not like them won't like it to change. He's saying if them get different light, if they get hope, if they get need to want to change, and them to see different ways out and better ways out. Of course, their music can reflect them things. But he's saying right now, all them got the truth and the music. This was a youngster in Black Rock Tuesday at Street Jam. They had on Tuesday and me in a deep discussion. And this is what he said to me, Gibbsy. How would you go about replying to that, Gibbsy? And then anyone here on the after Gibbsy.
The thing is, sometimes a person could go against the grain. I mean, there have been artists that have come from some rough neighborhoods, tough upbringings, but chose not to sing about what they saw. Kanye West from Chicago, I'm not sure if he wanted to, he could have sung about the inner city stuff and everything.
He's from Southside too.
Exactly, but he chose to wear a polo shirt and backpack and kind of things, right? And
he just walks.
Yeah, so some every once in a while, an artist comes along that is just different. In a lot of cases, we have a lot of contributors that tend to just do what they see the other person doing. But every once in a while, a particular person with a very special outlook on things comes along and kind of changes the paradigm in a sense. And then sometimes it opens a gateway for other people to say, you know what, now that I realize people accepting this, maybe I could try doing it too. So for any young person that feels like they need to sing about violence and stuff, because that's what people are responding to, my question would just be, okay, you ever look at the global market to see what the people that are making the most money in music, what they're doing, who they're performing for, what kind of stages they want? And my question would be, how far you want to go? Like, if you want to be at Coachella, if you want to be at Glastonbury and some of the biggest music festivals in the world.
So big, you're really seeing it. That's a great
point. Yeah, my question would be, how far you want to go? And if he says, well, I'm happy performing at, you know, urban shows, well, then I would tell you, well, I guess you already on your path then. But for any person with ambitions outside of their sphere, I would tell them, well, look to make music a little more all-encompassing and that just bring some joy to people, stuff that easier to sing, you know.
And opening doors for others to like be like, it come from, I would like to hear Ronnie replay to that before he talk. Or Ronnie, let me hear Ronnie replay to that before he talk.
Well, I'm a believer in genuine art. And having been involved in hip-hop from day one, There was a time when many of the tales of the street, the raw tales of the street, were not freely heard.
Yeah.
Right? Up comes a group like NWA, Straight Outta Compton, 1988. This is following on from a period where you got Public Enemy, Boogie Down Productions, and then you've got the more party type in that original commercial period of songs like Rapper's Delight and Apache, etc. Mm-hmm. Up until then, the hardest thing you heard commercially was The Message by Grandmaster Flash and The Furious Five. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. But when South Central broke, I say South Central, LA, Compton, there was this scene because of NWA where the gangster wearing the LA Raiders jacket and the LA Raiders hat, maybe with some Jerry curls like Eazy-E, that became prominent, but the reality was that was the reality in parts of that area, and they were bringing tales to the world that nobody had heard before in that way. And you know, they were on the FBI watch list and all of them kind of things. But Ice Cube, he was able to initially with Boys in the Hood translate that attention and platform through NWA and then his individual albums, America's Most Wanted and Death Certificate, etc., into a career in movies. Ice-T,
yes,
who used to be a drug dealer, right? Serious pimp. He decided, well, I'm going to give this rapping thing a shot too. But he had already had some success in Breaking. He had a song called Reckless, but he wasn't called Ice-T at that point in time. Eazy-E, of course, he wasn't a rapper. In fact, They used to punch him in line by line because he didn't have any flow. He had to be taught. But he had the image and he had the street cred. So all of these all of these guys are like LL, Ice Cube, Ice-T, you know. And then, of course, that youngster from Philadelphia, Will Smith, because he was out from the age of 17 with Jazzy Jeff. They all went on to become, I beg your pardon, significantly successful movie stars and own businesses and this next and the third. So when you are talking to young talent that is in a is driven initially by a certain spirit and vibe because of what they see and where they are, you must always encourage them. That talent that you have, the way you've expressed it there, you can use it in such a way to do other things. And it's not a crime to record and perform something positive. It's not a crime to be successful and not be in court.
No, it's not a fear. You know? It's not a fear either.
It's not disingenuous to being a struggler or a survivor, to have a good education and to want a bachelor's, a master's, a doctorate, a research post, whatever the case may be. That's not preserved for people from a certain part of society. And you have to impart that from early. You have to impart that into a young mind that is only that doesn't know juice but knows drink crystals. I'm not going to call any names because there ain't any free advertising here. That only knows fish in a can and not fresh fish from a market. That knows vegetables in a tin and doesn't know vegetables from a tray or from the ground, because that's what they have day in, day out, if they get it every day. And that's the pressure of just trying to eat. Someone that is young, high unemployment, can't get a job, wants things, is frustrated, because that's a lot of pressure. So a lot of that is expressed in the work. And it's not always songs, it's poems, it's art, it's graphics. So look for the opportunity to move ahead. And it doesn't mean moving ahead and being successful does not mean you are not true to your, if you want to put it in inverted commas, your ghetto origins or whatever the case may be. And that has become a narrative that people use because the culture that they access, they can get it right now. They can get whatever they want as raw as they want. So you just have to show people. And I've said this before. There have been times when there are lots of occasions when artists know that that song isn't going to fly. It's not going to fly with me. It's not going to fly with my colleagues. It's not going to fly with the advertisers. So they would be encouraged to do other things. And when they get success with a style of song or a tone of song that they would have never tried before, then they actually see the benefit in doing better. But I would say this, I mean, there are lots of calls, Bashment rhythms, you can sing this, you can sing that, etc. The culture where it is expects a certain thing, but that doesn't mean delivering that certain thing over and over is a benefit to anybody in the long term. There may be a season where an artist gets a lot of gigs, gets a $500 gig. If he can do, well, there's no crop over right now, but the entertainment arena is being driven right now by the same vibe and spirit. And I guess it's the youthfulness and the lack of fear. Some would say the lack of sense in this COVID time. There's a certain circuit. And we know that there's the oldies lime circuit for the mature and the old, and then there's the cruise and these breakfast parties and these things that start at 4 and finish at 12, and you know the flyer looks fantastic, and you know the fellas are wearing the flowered shirts and the pedal pushers, which is strange because 30 years ago men would not be wearing pedal pushers. Things changed, and if they can get gigs or appearances That's what they're looking at right now. But they're not seeing in the long term. Well, what does Europe normally listen to during the summer? What type of song is usually successful in the months of October, November and December when it is cold? Caribbean music.
Yes.
Caribbean music. I'm not saying Caribbean music is limited. It's not. We can listen to it 12 times a year. But if you live in Europe and the summer is the place where it's extremely hot and there's a lot more festivity and there's a higher feel-good factor, then you know the type of songs that you'll be writing to capitalize on that mood. But when you get to October, November, and December, people want a little life, yes. But, you know, trees are dying. Things are frozen over. You get... And then when spring comes, it's a time of hope. Those type of things you have to think about as a writer too. And that means you need to check, you know, those artists must understand it. Learning music theory is good. You know, taking lessons to improve your ability to sing by knowing why an instrument is played a certain way to accompany you when you're singing, or why there's a certain pattern that drums take if you're rapping or chanting. That's not the domain of someone who just wants to do classical music, but it can help you. And the main thing is those artists must understand they have a talent that can be used for better purposes. But there will always be a repertoire and a playlist of music that speaks to the raw and the base nature of people. Because, you know, that is life. That is life. You'll always have things that are sensuous. You'll always have things that are erotic. In 2020 and beyond, as it has been for the last 40 years, you'll have something that's pornographic. You have to determine where you're going to place it and where you're going to share it. Those things can't be shared everywhere, especially in through entities or in landscapes that are regulated according to laws and taste. But then there must still be a wide boundary to ensure that your personal like or dislike does not become the law. That there is a law, and that there are precedents, and that there are songs, and there are movies, and there are books that fall within it from an artistic perspective. And that one or two persons, because they like it or don't like it, don't become the law. And I think that there's enough scope to work in and around what we have, let's say, in Barbados right now. But you got to think. And in order to think, you have to read. I know that a lot of the criminologists and guidance counselors and social workers, they will point to the level of a person's education, numeracy, literacy. And it can only take them. It can only take them so far. It can only take them so far in terms of what they write, and what they interpret from what other people write and produce. You got to be
correct.
Educated.
I was definitely going to say that. How they interpret things, correct?
Got to be educated. So that's my short answer.
And Gibbsy,
huh?
Ronnie, you the real BJ here. Here, who you answer? You the real, real BJ.
It is true.
Yeah. Ronnie says something there though, really. And the reason why I love this show and StarCon, because it will take this knowledge and carry back to my youth. Because everyone knows that we do full time. That we always seeking help because that we do full time with the youngsters. And he said something that I'll be telling my children for sure. When he said that success and certain things is not preserved for only certain people, you know, that's a powerful thing that would change a child's score. And then when Ronnie went on and spoke about the level, you're like many of the criminologists and the social workers and guidance counselors, and you know, different people that study what I've said, that your level of education, you know, determines mainly how you interpret certain things. Yeah. So that plus understanding first that certain things are not preserved for only a certain class or only certain types of people and Sat says not reserved for only them. One that is very powerful, Ronnie Tone, very, very powerful. And then when you explain that your level of education allows you to interpret at that, your level of education. Two, see two of them things, if you get the youngsters to understand that, it will change the score. Because you could be anything from anywhere. But a lot of the times, Ronnie and Gibbsy is the youngsters thinking, nah, far, that far fetched. It's getting the youngsters to truly believe it. But then when a person is running for raffle off, so many different people that you know come from certain places, you know, you can speak about Will Smith coming from Philly and Kanye West coming from Chicago. And then you could go in Barbados, you could speak about Ariel coming from the Bayland. You know, you could speak about Mikey and Lorenzo coming from the Arnie's in town. You could speak about Marzo coming from Chapman Lane. You know, you could speak about Mr. Deal and TC coming from Deacons.
That's right.
You understand? And Kid Sight coming from Black Rock, still lives in Black Rock, actually. You know, and Kid Sight also in a Harrison College as well. You know what I mean? So, like, I use these examples of our people home, and you can see Mr. Dale from Deacon's Farm, or people know Deacon's Farm area, right? But Mr. Dale went to Queens College also, TC. Barney Plain Ridge and his farm, she sang about it, but she went to Combermere School. You know, and it could go on and on. You got Brimstone that sang reggae, he went to school at Queens College, very smart fella. And that way he sound different. You got Buggy, we could look at Ronnie, just sent my brain for a loop, Ronnie. Mm. We could look at Buggy Nakente, who was arguably probably our number one reggae artist. And he's an extremely intelligent fella. And he went to St. Michael's Secondary School. We're not saying that. Not saying it's just his school, but it's just showing the
correlation.
Right. The correlation of there's nothing wrong with being smart. You know what I mean? Like, I find out Gibbsy and Ronnie, I find out, like, you got to find ways to make it cool for the kids to understand those things, though.
Well, I would say this.
I feel like it.
Yeah, I think cadets, scouts, guides, I guess pathfinders from an Adventist perspective, all of these things have value. And sometimes people think, well, what will people think of me if I join one of them organizations, my peers per se?
Yes, don't lose your thought, Gibbsy.
You know, they gotta.
Yes.
Those areas of discipline are necessary. We talk about your service. We talk about essential service, 2 years, etc.
Yeah.
You know, the stigma is, I'll say it. You know, people think that you go to the Barbados Youth Service because you have nothing else to do. And that's not fair.
Yeah.
Well, but I said it.
Yeah.
You know? And then
people, no, you're right.
And then people say, well, only people at a certain stage of their youth will go there. They didn't do this, they didn't get here, but that's not true. And you can look at the success stories. But that is the thinking. The same way that people think if you go to Harrison College, Combermere, Queens College, St. Michael's, blah, blah, blah. You know, you've arrived. But take a look across Barbados and see where many leaders and people in positions of influence have gone to school. It's not six schools. Virtually every school you can think of.
Yeah.
Right? And as an artist, Herbie Critchlow went to St. James Secondary School. Herbie Critchlow has written songs that sold over 40 million copies. Backstreet Boys, the fella Zayn.
Correct.
There used to be in One Direction. You name it. Michael Jackson's nephews. And people don't talk about them things. Yes. Right? And then you have possibly our most successful professional footballer, Gregory Lalu Goodrich. I'm going to say successful. He didn't win the FA Cup like Emmy. But at the end of the day, he played in all four divisions. Yes. He from St. George Secondary School. Same St. George Secondary School that went to Waterford and wash off Combermere in 20 minutes and tap me on my shoulder and say, I can take it easy upon you. I can take it easy upon you. I will only score four. You know? So these are the things that we have to think about. Technology has made it easier, but at the same time, there are still a considerable number of people that don't have access to the technology, and that's who we got to worry about. And many of those persons would benefit from thinking, you know what? I my blood is red. I have a heart. I breathe. You know, I think. I have family. I have friends. I have life. I have a mission. I have a purpose. And you don't have to be in church to hear those words. That affirmation can come from people who understand that life is hard, but you have the potential to win at some point. It's hard to take that when you're sitting in school and your family situation ain't right or the money situation ain't right. But you can do it. And that's why teachers are so important, you know? You can do it. And we're teachers. We're teachers to the artists.
Yeah, correct.